We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We pray that you are having an awesome day. We want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, been in Brevard County for nearly 30 years now, pastoring this church. That's not right. It's not nearly 30 years. It's only 26 years. So anyway, close enough to 30. But I've been at Merritt Assembly of God for 23 years. And I want to say thank you to Tim Garrison, who filled in for me yesterday in ministering the word. My wife and I are off visiting some family here. And so I want to say thank you to him. And I also pray that you all had a marvelous Valentine's Day. I will never forget. I hadn't been pastor of the church for very long, and a friend of mine said, hey, they're having a Pastor's Promise Keepers conference up in Atlanta. And we went up there, and there were 40,000 pastors who had gathered. And one of the first orders of business that they did is, gentlemen, we are sorry. We did not realize that when we scheduled this, that it would be over Valentine's Day. And so we have provided for you cards. And if you would be so kind as to fill this out, we want to send a Valentine's Day card to your wife from us for allowing you to come and edify yourselves and be encouraged in the ministry over Valentine's Day. And so I do pray. My wife and I, we got to celebrate it with her mother, and we don't get to do that very often, and so we are away at this time. One more thing about that pastor's conference, just because it's funny to me, and that was there was not only a senior pastor's conference, but it was staff pastors went as well. And one of the things that stands out in my memory, one not so funny, was watching 40,000 servants of God worship with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. And that truly was very, very uplifting. One of my most memorable worship encounters ever. But on a humorous note, there you are with 40,000 pastors, and all of a sudden a staff pastor says, pastor, and 40,000 heads turn, you know, because they're, you know, that's what they are used to being called. And so everybody thought that it was somebody calling them. And anyway, moving right along. So we're getting ready for a great week. We're talking about cultivating a culture of faith in your life and in your house. We have talked about that Abraham believed God. And Jesus said, you know, you not only need to believe God, not only believe what he says, you need to believe in him, believe in his abilities. And if you believe in him, you should also believe in me. And so I do believe in Jesus. I believe in that he is the Son of God. I believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything that I can ask or think or imagine. I believe in the work, the person, and the ministry of Jesus. And so I encourage you to do that. And having faith, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 6, you know, the work of God is this: believe in the one whom he has sent. And so we've also talked about that faith is a gift. It's a universal gift that God has planted inside the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl, so that they will put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is all, but God also provides for us a supernatural gift that is available to the body of Christ, a supernatural gift of faith, so that the body can be built up, faith to believe for signs and wonders and miracles to take place for the benefit of the body of Christ. That type of gift is not for a merit badge. It is for the benefit of the body of Christ. And then we've also talked about that faith is a lifestyle and faith is progressive. We concluded last week talking about that out of Romans chapter 1. And so I pray that you are developing this type of gift. Now, today I want to take you to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to be turning, because not only is faith a gift, but faith is also a fruit. Faith is a fruit. And so we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 today, verse number 16, and it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And that's the end of chapter 5. So this passage starts with an admonition to walk in the Spirit, and that is to go on a journey, on a daily journey, that it is not just an event. It is a process. It is a lifestyle, and we encourage you to do that. And it says here that there's a war that goes on inside of every person. There is the war of the flesh, and it is warring against the things of the Spirit. And by the way, this is Spirit with a capital S. That means it's the Holy Spirit. It's God, the Holy Spirit. It's not just you're warring against your own innermost being. Your carnal nature wars against the things that God has for you. And the reality is this: God is warring for you for your best. He is warring for you for your benefit. And so I encourage you to adopt the mindset that the flesh, when it is fighting against the things of God, that in reality it is fighting to bring you to a lower quality of life, to a worse quality of life. It is warring, if you look at the end of the list there of the works of the flesh, it is warring to deprive you of your inheritance in the kingdom of God. Because in verse 21, it concludes, "Those who practice such things or who walk in such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So I want you to know that the enemy is, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life." The enemy has come that he might steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the enemy has come to steal the things that God wants you to have here in this life. He has also come to steal your future from you, your eternity from you. He does not want you walking in the inheritance that God has for you. And so I encourage you that when your flesh is fighting against the things that God wants for you, the things that are declared in God's word, that you will adopt the mindset that giving in to the flesh is not going to make life better. It's going to make life worse. And so it says that if you will walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, it does. We are to be led by the Spirit, but we are supposed to also walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be with us every step of the way. It should be not just the Holy Spirit should not just be ministering to us when we're in a corporate worship setting, but He should be speaking to us, guiding us into all truth as we study the Word of God over and over and over on a daily basis. Walk in the Spirit. And says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So let me give you just a little bit of a list here. This is not an all-inclusive list, and I'll point that out to you here in just a moment how I know that. But it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So let me read some of these things for you. It says, adultery, fornication. Okay, now adultery, we don't talk about that too much anymore, although I recently did hear that there's a state or there are several states that still have that on the books because it's illegal in certain states. In military circles, you cannot have that. And you say, well, how old fashioned is that? Well, it's not just because of biblical values, but because historically throughout warfare, the enemy has constantly used sexual gratification as a means to find out intelligence that they would be able to exploit against their enemy. And so it is a test of the faithfulness, and I hope that the military still realizes the wisdom in having that. So fornication is basically this. Fornication is sex outside of the parameters that God has described in the New Testament of sex between one husband and one wife together exclusively. Okay? So fornication is sex before marriage. It's sex outside of the bonds of marriage. It is sex outside of the definition that God has given in his word. And so just let you know that's basically what that is talking about. Because a lot of times we read these words and people think that they have an understanding of them and they don't really have an understanding of the definition. Uncleanness, lewdness, that is behavior that should not be taking place, and it most definitely should not be taking out in public. And so you will often see in court cases lewd and lascivious behavior. And that will almost always be sexual in nature. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. You know, we can read this list and we'd say, well, I would never do that. But then all of a sudden we come across something like that, an outburst of wrath. And that is a work of the flesh. You should not be known as an angry person, okay? Something, you know, when I think of the word outburst, I think of like a volcanic eruption that all of a sudden just, boom, all of this vile talk, this angry persona comes out. It should not, that's something that is coming out of your innermost being. That means that the flesh is having an effect on your thought life and on your heart life, on the things that you do, and it's going to eventually manifest itself. Outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. By the way, I will tell you this: whenever I'm studying and I come across something and I feel like God has revealed something to me and maybe I haven't thought of it before or heard of it before. And sometimes I think, wow, this is a brand new revelation. And then I open up one of my Bibles and I find that I had the same notation before sometimes. But one of the things that I do to make sure that I do not fall into heresy, by the way, which is a belief that is contrary to the Word of God, is I will double check myself. I am not an end to myself. I will go to some of my friends who are very attuned to the Word of God, and you know, probably have a better grasp on theological concepts than I do, because they've studied more theological philosophies or theories. And so I will go to them and I say, okay, please make sure that I'm not a heretic. You see, I'm not an end to myself. I am not an authority unto myself. I want to make sure that I am teaching sound biblical truth, because here's the thing. And this is one of the reasons why I'm thankful for the Assemblies of God. There are a number of people, I could name you several people, who began to teach heretical concepts from the pulpit. And then when other ministers tried to bring correction to their theology, they refused to accept it. And it had disastrous consequences. Disastrous consequences. So we want to believe the things of the Word of God. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. If my teaching does not line up with the Word of God, my teaching needs to change, not the Word of God. And so envy, murders, drunkenness, works of the flesh. Okay. And I know that the Super Bowl happened here, you know, about 8 days ago or so. And I can understand that there are a lot of people who like to drink. I can understand that it's a huge marketing thing. I can understand that a little bit. When it comes to, you know, football and things, you know, the thing that I've never understood is the big push for alcohol at Christmas time. I'm sorry, I just don't understand that. I will tell you this. I don't have to drink. I don't want to drink. I choose not to drink. I have very good reasons for choosing not to drink. I don't want anything impairing my judgment, impairing my thought, because I don't want to be an embarrassment to my Savior. And you say, well, I don't have that same thing. I'm just a social drinker. Well, I also have several other reasons, and that is a number of people who were social drinkers ended up ruining their lives because what they thought they were doing, and they thought that they could handle it. At one point in time, they lost control, and they either killed themselves, killed other people. They were arrested. They publicly humiliated themselves. I have seen marriages dissolve from it. I don't need those sorts of things. I don't need that in my life. Don't want it in my life. And so I want you to just see that the Word of God says that alcohol should not have, and along with that, drug addiction should not have a place in the body of Christ. And I know that there's a big push to lower the standard in that, but I'm not going to lower my standard just to be socially acceptable. So revelries and the like, of which I've told you before, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so in verse 21, listen to this: envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And so it's not just those items on the list. You can go and you can find other lists. You can find them in Romans, in Revelation. You can find things that are contrary to the Spirit of God. So why did I set that stage up? Because those things will prevent you from manifesting the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about here in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now that word faithfulness that is translated in the New King James Version is the word P-I-S-T-I-S from the Greek. And in the King James Version, that is not translated faithfulness. It is translated faith. And that would be related to the word P-I-S-T-E-A-R-T-E-O, pisteo. So what I want to tell you here is that this type of fruit that we're talking about, the fruit of faith, it's not something that you can go down to the local retailer and buy. It's not something that you can work up in yourself. It's not a place, it's not something that you can go and get educated on and say, oh, I suddenly understand that. This that we are talking about is not something that you can procure from any human means. This is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It only comes from an abiding relationship, a connected relationship, not just occasionally connected, but it is something that happens because we are linked, we are bonded with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, and we are walking in the Holy Spirit. We are abiding, and the things of the Spirit are constantly flowing as a life nutritional source into our spirit, and it is producing a behavior that is contrary to those things that we just read about in verses 19 through 21. If you are manifesting those things in verses 19 through 21, you are not abiding in the Holy Spirit. That by the very context of this passage, if you are manifesting those things, you are not abiding in the Holy Spirit. That is not my philosophy. That is the Word of God. You cannot manifest the works of the flesh while abiding in the Spirit. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit while not abiding in Him and being vitally connected. And the only way that I can describe this is if you were to think of it from an agricultural standpoint, from a plant, the branch is connected to the vine. And if that branch is separated, it ceases to have the life-giving sustenance flowing into it, and so it begins to wither, it begins to die, and it manifests the evidence of death. So this is faith that can only come. Now let me touch on this just a little bit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Now, I doubt that any of us would score perfectly. I doubt we would score perfect tens, that we manifest perfect God-given love all the time. I believe that there is constantly. See, God bragged on Job, "Have you considered my servant Job?" But what God knew was that there was something going on in Job's heart that even Job didn't know was there. And so God was bringing that out so that it could be dealt with. And so you and I, whenever we manifest a less than perfection in these areas, it should be something that causes us to have a repentance and a godly longing so that we abide in the Spirit even more because we want to manifest this in a better manner. Love, joy. Now, I think that there are way too many angry saints. I don't want to be one of those angry saints. I don't want to be the person that looks like he was baptized in lemon juice instead of baptized into Christ. I want to have the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you have been had your death sentence wiped away and you have been released unto eternal life, That should be sufficient. No matter what else happens, it should be the prevailing mindset of believers. Okay? Doesn't mean that you're going to be going around with a Cheshire cat grin on your face all of the time, but you should have a joy that passes understanding. Peace that passes understanding. The shalom of God that you and I are at rest knowing that God is our peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Our peace comes from the abiding presence that we have with God. Psalm 23, he leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in the presence of my enemies. It is a wonderful presence. He leads me beside the still waters. He prepares a beautiful green pasture for us. You see, you don't worry about your enemies when you know that your shepherd is leading you. Long suffering, that would be patience. Okay, patience. So I encourage you that if you are constantly being impatient, that you would look at it and say, this is something I need to manifest. Kindness, goodness, faith, we've talked about that. Gentleness and self-control. So if I am not manifesting these things, if there is something that is contrary to these, if instead of patience, I'm demonstrating impatience, if I'm not demonstrating kindness and goodness and gentleness, then there's something in my relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that needs to work on. If I'm lacking self-control, there's something I need to be working on. And if I'm lacking faith, there is a deficiency in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, these things, we might just think that they're superficial, but actually what these things do is they are indicators to us that when they're missing from our life, when they're void from our existence, then we need to come and say, God, I need you. You know, I don't know how busy you've been. I know I've been very busy, and this week I'm really looking forward to spending some quality time with the Lord. But if you are noticing that the things in verse 22 and 23 are lacking, don't blame other people. And it's not a God problem either. It's an us problem. And so I encourage you to say, God, forgive me. Lord, whatever is cutting in, whatever is negatively affecting my relationship with you, would you correct that? Because I want the holy, sustaining, life-sustaining power of God flowing in my life to such an extent that it makes my personality, it makes my daily persona more reflective of Jesus Christ than it's ever been before. God wants you to be a person of faith. That faith will be enhanced. You will produce the fruit of faith the more you abide in him. By the way, I would just encourage you, if you want to read more about abiding in Christ or remaining in Christ, turn to John chapter 15. It literally transformed Hudson Taylor's life. It'll transform yours as well. Father, I pray today that we would abide in you, that your word would abide in us, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and we would walk in the Holy Spirit. God, because we want to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, and Lord, we want to manifest faith. Help us in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you is like an ocean.